I did so. Okay. You had me look twice, though. I thought it maybe did say 5 to 12. Okay. Well, were some of you here for Wayne last week? It's a treat to hear from him, hey? Wayne has walked many, many years. He's been an Alliance pastor for many, many years, and I've always enjoyed my my conversations with Wayne. He's a dear friend and dear brother, so I hope you guys all have enjoyed his preaching last week. Is that working? Oh, good. Okay. Well, we've been preaching in the book of Galatians, a letter from the Apostle Paul to the people in Galatia. And Paul was dealing with an issue that was going on where we have these new believers who've come to Christ and they're excited, but some of the older ones were saying, but you still need to be circumcised. You still need to mix law with grace. And Paul's saying, no, the law's completed. The law couldn't do what Jesus did. He had to do it. And so Paul has been talking about this through each chapter. We're on chapter 6. We're in the last portion of Galatians. And so I promise you we're going to finish it off today. This is good timing because next week is Palm Sunday. Cindy, I know maybe don't believe me, right? But we are going to finish. We will. And so we're coming to the end. We are in the final verses of Galatians. Next week is Palm Sunday, so please show up for Palm Sunday. And if you can believe it, the Sunday after that is Easter already. And Jeremy's a firm believer that we should be celebrating Easter even more than Christmas, right? And so because he is risen, without him being risen, then what are we doing here, right? Right, yeah. So we want to continue to look forward to Easter and everything that Jesus has done. We're going to celebrate. We're going to have a Good Friday service here as well at the church. I think we said 10:30. But we'll announce that next Sunday. But Good Friday service, 10:30 in the morning here at the church on Good Friday. We'll talk about that more next week. Let me read for you. We'll do a bit of a refreshing from last week. So Galatians 6, and I'll start at verse 7. I'll read to you, okay? Story time. Sit back, listen. All right, here's what Paul says. Here's what he's communicating. He says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. People reap what they sow. Those who sow to please their sinful flesh, from that flesh will reap destruction. But those who sow to please the Spirit, from the Spirit, it will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will," and the word is will, not should, we should, but we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Let us not become weary in doing good. Let us never become weary, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Now, when do we tend to give up? When you're oriented to something, it's new and it's fresh, right? And then you journey in that thing for a while, and then we can get disorientated, right? We get disorientated, and if we wait long enough, you'll get reorientated to something because God is about bringing us through a journey, right? We all want to be spiritual, but we don't necessarily want the journey of getting there, right? God gives a promise, right? We read that in the Bible. He gave many promises, and then those people experienced a reversal to that promise, right? But if you wait long enough, then God brought a fulfillment to that promise. There's so many examples we can use. Right? We could use Joseph. Right? He was promised that he would rule. Right? And what happened to Joseph? Well, his brothers beat him up, ripped up his beautiful coat, threw him into a pit, right? Threw blood on it to make it look like an animal got him. And then he got sold, but not just sold, he got sold into slavery. And then he moved to a foreign country, right? And then even the Pharaoh's wife eventually comes on to him. He gets blamed for it and gets thrown in prison. Now, what do you think Joseph's thinking? Wow, look at me rule right from prison. Right? I'm a ruler, all right. Thanks for that empty promise, Lord. But he didn't give up faith in his God, did he? Right? He remained faithful. And I'm sure there was times of doubt. Anybody experienced those times? Right? I'm sure he sat there in that prison wondering, well, Lord, will there be fulfillment? And we tend to give up when we get disorientated, a reversal to what is promised. Now, you may not feel loved by God, but there might be events in your life that will challenge God's love for you. But if you wait long enough and let just journey through that and continue to put your faith and trust in Christ, you will experience fulfillment to that promise. Amen? Right? Abide in my love, Jesus said. Immerse yourself in it. So Paul here says, do not become weary in doing. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Do you remember I told you about the Chinese bamboo tree a few weeks ago? Right? And just let me refresh you, right? And so it's an interesting thing, the Chinese bamboo tree, because a farmer plants a Chinese bamboo seed in the ground. It starts with this little seed. And he puts it in the ground and he waters it. And he fertilizes it, and he waters it, and he fertilizes it, and he cares for it every day. But nothing happens. Nothing happens to it at all. In year one, nothing comes up. You don't see anything. Year two, still nothing. Year three, still nothing. Year four, still nothing. But he tends it. And he cares for it, and he keeps watering it and fertilizing it. Most people would probably assume, I think you had a bad seed, right? The seed has failed, but the farmer keeps watering it and caring for it and watering it, caring for it through all of those years. And in the fifth year, something actually incredible happens. The bamboo suddenly shoots up nearly 80 feet in about 6 weeks. So he tends to it for that long, and in about 6 weeks, that bamboo finally shoots up. The question is, did the bamboo grow 80 feet in 6 weeks? No. It didn't grow in 6 weeks. It was actually growing for 5 years underground. For 5 years, there was things happening underground that you can't see, building an absolutely massive root system. Completely massive underground, strong enough to support what was actually coming. And if that bamboo tree had grown quickly at the beginning, it absolutely would have collapsed. Here's what they look like. Now, some of us, and I think I shared this story with you, some of us, you know, we feel like, I don't think God's working in my life. Right there, I just feel like there's been no fruit. Right, and I remember the Lord challenged me on that. I was actually at a camp, and I was looking at this big, beautiful tree. Normally, this size of a tree I see when I go to Port Alberni, BC, but in Saskatchewan, there actually was this huge tree. It was by Choiceland. I can't remember the name of the camp. I think it was Timberline or something like that. Yeah, Torch Trail. That's the one. Torch. Thank you, Cindy. Torch Trail Bible Camp. That's it. And it had this massive tree, and they asked me to speak outside one night. And the Lord had been teaching me about everything preaches and teaches something about him because it's made by his hand. Right? Some artists, they can tell the painter by the way the painter paints. Right? They can, oh, that's a Goya, that's a Van Gogh. I've seen it before. And I'm like, how do you know? Oh, you can tell the artist by the way he paints. Right? And God's painted this world, didn't he? He created everything in it. It has his touch. It has his fingerprint on it. And I remember looking at this tree, and I just said, okay, Lord, you made this tree. What do you want to teach me about it? And God says, you believe in every season that leaves will come out on that tree. And I, yeah, this is the conversation I had in my mind with the Lord. I said, yeah, I do. Yet you don't see the work that's going on inside of it. No, but every year you believe, without a doubt, don't even question it, that leaves will come forth. Yep, I do. He said, I'm doing a work in you. And those that I've put in your charge that you can't see. And yet you believe more in that tree than you who I love and made the object of my love. See, Jesus said, I and my Father are always at our work. And he made doing a year just like this bamboo tree. You see nothing for 5 years. You don't know what the Lord's doing. Sometimes we have to journey through something in order for us to see something that God has in our lives. Amen? I know in my life that God had to bring me through some stuff that was taught me so I could be untaught. And I had to unlearn some things that I had learned so I could really, truly learn the truth from him. Anybody have that experience? Right? And so let us not become weary, Paul says, in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. To some people? To a few? Let us do good to the ones who we like. No. You know, think of the person that rubs you the most, just rubs you the wrong way the most. Right? That's usually the mirror. Because I like me, but I don't like to see me and you. Right? He says to love everyone, all. And that word, I looked it up, it means all people, especially to those who belong to the family of God, to believers, especially to each other. Okay, verse 11. Let's hear what he says. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Isn't that a funny verse? Can you imagine starting a letter? Hey, see what large letters I am writing to you. Right? Why is Paul saying this? See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Now, some people said, well, Paul was really wanting to bring emphasis, urgency and importance to what he's about to say. Some say Paul had really bad eyesight issues because he had been stoned and shipwrecked and beaten and whipped so many times. So take your pick. But Paul says, he says, see what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Verse 12. Those who want to impress others by means of the flesh, those who want to impress others by the means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. They're trying to compel you to become circumcised. Verse 13. I'm sorry, the only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. What is Paul getting at here? What is he trying to communicate here in verse 12 and 13? I was thinking of this teen who I had the privilege of youth pastoring. And he grew up in the church. And as many that I know have, but he grew up in the church, and he knew all the right things to say. And he looked like a strong Christian on the outside. And this was from his own admittance, but he admitted later he was just trying to fit in and gain the approval of all of his peers. Eventually, he broke down, and he said this. He said, I've been pretending. I don't want to perform anymore. I want this to be real. I want it to be real. Do you know, for that student, that marked the beginning of a genuine faith. Not pressured, not external, but real. And here Paul is warning about people who push outward conformity without inward change first. This story actually shows the freedom of authenticity. We don't want to be fake. Right? And some of us are trying to be spiritual, but it flows out of the relationship from Christ who lives within. Right? It's the difference. Remember I told you about my grandma had plastic fruit on her table? Right? And I don't know why for years. I mean, it looks so good. And I saw people over the years go over and take it, and then, oh, that's not real. but it looks so good, right? It's fake. It had no taste, right? But when she had real fruit, man, that's the real thing. And without this inward change, what you do outwardly will be of no value, right? For your fruit has to flow out of that relationship with Christ who lives within you. Do you understand? Right? And just for this student, he was doing all these outward things, outward appearance. And Paul's warning about people who push outward conformity without inward change. And we have to, that's why this abiding relationship with Christ is so vitally important for us to understand and for it to take hold of in our lives. Capiche? Important point? Okay? All right. Verse 14. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, no means, or circumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. That's what counts. Did you hear that? Okay, let me read that again, okay? May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What actually counts is the new creation. And so these people, these who are trying to sway these new believers, right? Because Paul is saying in Galatians, what gospel are you following? Because it's not the one I preached to you. And they're saying, no, you still need to be circumcised. And Paul says, no, that was under the law. The law has been fulfilled now in Christ. None of us could live under it. It was too heavy. None of us could do it. Only Christ can. And so he's telling them, what, circumcised, uncircumcised? You guys have missed it. You've missed the point. What counts now is the new life that we now have in Christ. His Holy Spirit, his life that's come in you. We have a new source now that actually can overcome things in our lives and in the world. Amen? That's the good news of the gospel. Because in Adam, we didn't have an engine that could overcome, right? Everything we've come up against, it defeated us and defeated. But in Christ, I can do all things. But apart from Christ, I can do nothing. And so Paul is really wanting to state here, what counts is that you're a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, since you're now in Christ, you're a new creation. You have a new identity. That old one that you got from the world is gone. And the new one is now here. But sadly, many Christians and many churches do not understand what they now have in Christ. They understand what Jesus did on the cross and that he died for our sins, which is very important. But now what? Because he died, now how shall I live? How do I get to live? What is the difference? What happened in that? And Paul's saying it's the new creation. It's the new creation that counts. You know, there was this former gang leader who came to faith in Christ while he was serving time in prison. And I've had the privilege over the years of counseling some gang members. They're handy people to have in your back pocket. And they always say to you, hey, if you need any favor, just give me a call. I said, okay, and I've hung on to those numbers, right? But this guy, he was a former gang leader, and he came to faith in Christ while serving time in prison. And when he got out, when he finally got out, he had an opportunity to remove his gang tattoos and completely reinvent his image. But as he thought about and he prayed about it, he actually chose to keep them. Why? Because every scar and every tattoo became a testimony. When people asked, he would always say, this is who I was, but look at what Jesus has done with me now. Instead of hiding his past to look all clean and perfect and look at my image, he embraced the evidence of God's transformation in his own life. He embraced it instead of trying to hide it. Like Paul saying, I bear on my body the marks, right? And that's in the next verse here. He says this. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. And like I said, Paul had been, I forget how many times, but he had been shipwrecked a number of times. He had been stoned a number of times, and I don't mean the kind, right? I mean they took rocks and threw. I have to clarify that these days now. Paul was stoned that many times, lucky guy, you know? No, I mean he got rocks thrown at him, right? So he had been stoned a number of times, right? And he had been whipped and beaten so many times. And you can imagine the marks that he bore on his body, right? The marks that he had. The Greek word is scar, actually. Mark, it means scar. The scars that he has. And instead of looking clean, this gang member, he embraced the evidence of God's transformation in his life. And so his story wasn't about looking religious, looking the part, looking so spiritual, but about what Jesus had actually done inside of him and what he was bearing. The world says, fix your image. But the gospel says, let your life tell the story of Jesus and what he's done. Amen? Right? So Paul bore these marks. Let me read verse 17 again. There's only two verses. I'm doing so great with time. Thank you, Jesus. All right. From now on, let no one cause me trouble. Right? In other words, Paul's saying, stop questioning my authority that I have been given in Christ. Stop questioning me. I am done with your questioning. Or stop disturbing me with all of these accusations you're presenting me. Because throughout Galatians, Paul has been defending his apostleship constantly and the gospel of grace from the law that they were mixing with it. These teachers were trying to undermine Paul's authority and what he had in Christ. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. You know, Paul said, the world is dead to Paul, and Paul is dead to the world. He's not looking to the world for approval. He wants people to look to get their identities in Christ and Christ alone. You don't need to impress the people around you. Right? Jesus said, I will lift you up in my due time. Let me do the lifting up of you. You don't need to lift yourself up. And that can happen only when you're satisfied in Christ. But if you're feeling empty, right? Then you feel like, I need to fill it. I need to show that I'm great. I'm successful. And we do that, don't we? We're trying to impress, but we don't need to. See, that's the beauty that we have in Christ, that we're significant in him already. That's how Jesus started his ministry. Remember when Johnny B. baptized him in the Jordan River? John the Baptist, sorry. Right? Baptized him. And a voice from heaven came, and it was like a spirit descended on him like a dove. And here's what God the Father said. This is my son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. And if we could all work from that place, because Jesus knows all the things you could choose in this world. He knows all of the distractions, all the things you can use to fill yourself. More shopping, newer car, newer TV, all newer house, bigger house. He knows all the things you could use to try to fill you in this world, and the world will entice you to try to get it. Now, nothing wrong with having those things, but it's not what you do, but why you're doing it. If you're doing it to fill you, then it becomes bad for you. When you're filled with Christ, he says, you're full to overflowing. Isn't that the beauty of Jesus? I don't have to impress. I get to be who I am. And who I am is a child of God. And so Paul is stressing the point. What counts is your new creation, your new identity that you now have in Christ. We don't work for love anymore. We work from love. We don't work for joy. We work from joy that we have in him. We don't work for victory. We work from the victory we already have in him. See the difference? Right? We're full. He says, I've given you everything for life and godliness in Christ Jesus. Period. Exclamation mark. You know, somebody was telling me the story. Sorry, who likes stories? I love stories. You'll remember stories more than my words, right? But there was somebody who's telling me about this older woman who attended this church for years, and she never preached, she never sang, she never led anything that was visible. She never led anything. But every week, she would come to the church early, and she would quietly clean, she would set up chairs, and then she would pray over every empty seat before people got there. And she did this for years and years and years. And then years later, multiple people in this church said that their lives were changed. And many actually traced it back to her quiet prayers and her faithfulness and not needing to be visible and seen. At her funeral, someone said this: "She's never tried to be seen, but Jesus saw everything that she did in quiet, in private." You know, Paul's point is it's not about religious performance or outward recognition. What matters is being made new in Jesus Christ. That's what matters. And that's what he's done for us, that he is continuing to do and always will do. Have you tapped into that life that lives within you? Right? Do you know the one? And if you don't have him, then you come see me, please, this week. We'll have a coffee together. Let me tell you more about what he can do for you. But we need it. Without his life, we cannot overcome anything. Not by my words, by Jesus. By myself, he said, I can do nothing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. All right, let me end with this. I'm so happy with myself. It's 25 after. The world says, look perfect. Impress people. Protect yourself. Protect your image that you've worked years to build. But Paul to the Galatians is saying, hey, boast in the cross and the work that Jesus did on it. Die to the world and become a new creation in Christ. You know, it's not about image, your image that you've been working to build. Right? We've all done it, right? Right? And I ask people this all the time. When you leave this room here today, what's the impression? What's the image that you wanted to leave everybody when you leave? Man, there goes Chad. What a godly man. All right? So on time. Right? Or, man, what a good-looking pastor we have. My goodness. He's so funny. Right? He's so trim. Right? What's the impression that you want to leave? What's the image that you want people to believe about you? Because we all have built an image. Why? Because people have hurt us. We've been rejected even from a young age in school. And then we build this image to protect ourselves because we didn't like that hurt. But at your point of image, we become a threat to God's glory because we will use the things around us to build us up and not him. Amen? See, in Christ, you don't need an image anymore. An image isn't the real thing. It's a projection of something that we want others to believe about us. But now you can do away with it. You get to be who you are in Christ. And who are we? We are children of God. That is who you are. That's the identity I want you to live in. Not the diagnosis that the doctor gave you, right? I remember this one guy, he told me I had post-traumatic stress, and in my session, I counted, and he said it about 35 times. And I said, you know what? I won't say his name, just in case he's listening. He's from Denmark. And I said, you know what? I'll call him Benny. You know what, Benny? How about we try something different? Instead of being post-traumatic syndrome guy, how about let's be a child of God who's been struggling with some post-traumatic stuff? Let's first put your identity in him. And I remember I came back a year later, and his wife said to me, she goes, Chad, you won't believe the transformation that occurred. And I said, try me. She goes, he stopped talking about post-traumatic stress, and he just started living in Christ. He's a new man. He's working again. Can you believe it? We actually have nice things again. Right? We cannot identify ourselves in the hurts that we had from others in our past. We want our identity to be found in Christ. And that's why God the Father, when Jesus was baptized, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And if each one of us here today could live from that identity, live from that place of who we are in Christ, I promise you, you'll be much more satisfied. And you'll learn, like Paul said, I've learned the secret to being content in this world. Because Paul's secret was Christ in me, my hope of glory. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Amen. Oh, that's good news. Do you know that that's what gospel means, right? It's good news. I'm so sad we're done Galatians. What a journey. Did you enjoy it? It's good, yes? Oh, it's such a good book to work through. Right? We don't mix law and grace. It is now Christ. Right? Grace and truth, Paul says. Grace and truth. Well, I will have a message for you for Palm Sunday next week, and then it is Easter Sunday, and then we're going to move into the book of John. One. Are you excited? I can see it on your faces. John is going to be a lot of fun. It'll take us at least 5 years to get through. But promise me, every day, every Sunday, it'll be different, right? Good message. Okay. Worship team, I'm going to pray. Why don't you come up and you guys have one more song to lead us in. And look at that. Thank you, Jesus. Nobody could believe I could end on time, but I just proved you wrong today. All right. You know what? Let's sing this last song. Let's stand together, and then I'll pray after they're done. Let's do that.